Today on Real Radio,
we're going to look at the purpose of the gifts. We're going to look at the use of the gifts, and I should say the abuse of the gifts, the operation of the gifts, and then for the very reason why Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 4, the unity of the gifts.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're exploring chapter 4, where Paul, the author of the letter, emphasizes unity among believers. Well, the section we're now exploring is where he expounds a bit on gifts for believers and how they all contribute to the functioning of the church. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called United in the Gifts.
The word given right here as a prophet is exactly the definition of the ministry of Billy Graham. A man who has the gift of proclaiming, telling forth the Word of God globally on a massive scale. Billy Graham has delivered the gospel to more living people than any other human being in all of human history. There's only one thing that's going to outdo Billy Graham's ministry, and that will be the angel that flies through the midst of the atmosphere proclaiming the everlasting gospel. Billy Graham has delivered the gospel to 2.8 billion people in one time. 2 years ago that happened. Unbelievable. Now, gifts in operation today. We'll cover these in detail later. Well, what about the gift of an evangelist? Well, that's certainly what Billy Graham does, but the gift of an evangelist is many of you in this room here tonight. The gift of an evangelist. Paul told Timothy, by the way, who was called later on an apostle. Timothy never saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. We're all to do the work of an evangelist in whatever way God calls us to. It may not be preaching to a stadium, but it could be to your neighbor. And some pastor teachers, in your Bible, I'm going to ask you to do something. You can do it later if you're more comfortable about it after the research of it, but in the Greek language, it is not pastor and teachers. It is the word pastor teacher. God has given the gift that there will be pastors who teach. It's not pastors and teachers. There is a gift of teaching. We'll cover it later. James Dobson has a keen gift of teaching, but he's not a pastor. Chuck Missler has a great gift of teaching. Sometimes I can't keep up with the guy. But when he comes down to where most of us live, he has a very good teaching, but he's not a pastor, and he'll tell you. But a pastor has to be a teacher, or she's not a pastor. The word in the Greek is pastor-teacher, not pastor and teacher. It's very important. Again, we'll look at that in detail later. Why all this? Well, in the preceding verses, he's been talking to us about being one. That we were called, way back up in verse 1 of chapter 4, that we're called to be in this body, this living body. We are called to be people that are active in the body of Christ. I don't want you to be offended when I challenge you in these next several weeks. Are you an active body in the Christian church that you attend? I'm not even going to assume that you attend here. Wherever you're at, are you an active serving member of that body? If not, you're ripping not the body off. You're ripping yourself off. God wants to work with you. God has given you a gift that you would be blessed, certainly, that you'd be realizing your value, that you're cared for. It's a beautiful thing to know that. Also, that you'd be built up. God does that when He works in you and through you. He builds both the vessel and what the vessel is applying toward. He builds them up. And He wants you to be a blessing to the body of Christ. It's an amazing thing. We saw in our previous studies that all of this admonition, I guess, or exhortation to be one. You look down or look back up to verses 4 through 6. One is mentioned seven times in the sense of unity. He says one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Mentions that seven times, that we might be united. And so now, from verses 7 on, Paul's going to talk to us about the supernatural activity of the body in and of itself, among itself, with itself. You can't. Listen, do we all understand that we're just here tonight? We're just here. It's just us, okay? You can't be a spectator in this church. Well, I don't like that. I'm going to go to some other church. Go! You can't be a spectator there. You and I cannot just sit idle and say, well, I'm going to let everybody else do the thing. Well, look, let everybody else do the thing you don't want to do. Maybe God's not calling you to do that thing. Yeah, I can change a diaper. I really can. I can change a diaper. But don't give me those newborn diapers, those newborn kiddos. I can't handle those guys. I can change a little toddler-type diaper. But those brand-new babies, and those one-week, two-week-old babies, I don't know what it is. There's something about those little guys. They're little stinkers, for sure. That's not my calling. I'll change the older ones. But you might see something, and, you know, where's my place? Well, I'm not into ushering. Don't usher! Ask God, God, what do you want me to be into? And then do it with all your heart. Don't ever be a grumpy servant of the Lord God Almighty. Angels are envious of us. So God calls you, you ask Him, Lord, I think I'd like to do this. Well, hey, that's great. You're going to say, well, Pastor Jack, what do you think I should do? I kind of think I'd like to do this. Don't ask me, because I'll tell you, if you think that God's telling you to do it, go do it. Well, what if I fall down? Praise the Lord. Just try it, will you? Just try it. You might find out that that's what you're called to do. You'll be built up. You'll be blessed. You'll get up in the morning like some of your kids. I hear about this from your kids. You'll get up in the morning, I can't wait to get to church. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be so refreshing? Instead of, why don't we just sleep in this weekend, honey? You know, get big games on. No, man, you just can't wait. That's a wonderful way to live. In all that you do to the glory of God, says the Scripture. So find out what it is, and in the next several weeks, you'll find out what that is. You're going to be praying about it. I'm going to ask you to be praying. God, where do you want me to be? There is enough people just in these four rows right here, under the power of the Holy Spirit, to turn the world upside down. Oh, yeah, right. That sounds like a cliche. Well, I don't know. Jesus did it with some pretty goofball guys. We've got the complete Scripture, the same Holy Spirit. We've got a world that is dying to get saved. We live in awesome times. Coming back from, heading from Russia to Germany this week, I began to think, and this is what I was thinking in my mind, God, my my, how donkeys have changed. That's how I was thinking. My donkey had 3 engines on it. Isn't that weird? I don't know, you know, how you think about that. I'm just starting to see things so different. You don't rent a car to get to the church. It's a chariot. You might say, well, it seems silly. I don't understand it either. How somebody can sit in a church for 3 years, hear the gospel, and then some bonehead from Chino Hills shows up and gives a message that he barely understands himself, and the guy gets saved. How does that work? I don't know. God is just doing his thing. We need to just so yield ourselves to him and let him do what he wants to do. He wants us to discover what gift we have and then use it to the fullest. And all of us ought to have the little Sherlock Holmes hat on now with a looking glass to find out what it is that God's called us to do. And this church ought to be absolutely. All over the place. I don't want this place. Look, we don't need this place. I don't want this place to be like the statistics. The statistics are 10% of the church gives 1%. That's the statistics of the church in America. 10% of the church gives 1% financially. And something like 8% of the church actually does like 95% of the work, kind of a thing. And the remainder is it just doesn't get done. That's the statistics. Well, first of all, God doesn't go, let me see, Chino Hills, statistics, rule number 5. Oh, shucks, can't use them anymore. He's not into statistics. There is no reason, there's no way that we should even continue to be a church if we're just going to be like the statistic. We have a pretty dinky staff here. I mean, in comparison to the size of the church, we have a dinky, dinky staff. It's cost effective. It's killing us all, but it's cost effective. But we can go back to our careers. I mean, I never got a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning from the laboratory. Unless some monster got loose, you know. Why be the norm? No, let's not be the norm here at all. It hasn't been very normal here. We're very grateful for that. But you know what, people? This is your place. It's your church. You might be thinking somebody will take care of that. Gosh, that window's dirty. You noticed it. God might be testing your heart to do something about it. Well, that usher didn't even say hi. Maybe you're the one that should take his or her place because you can say hi. Or maybe you need to go up to that usher and say, "Can I pray for you?" Why not? No, we just kind of tuck it into our lap and walk away and never bring it up again. But to each one of us, he says, the word in verse 7, the word gift, but to each one of us, it says, was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. The word is not the normal word charisma, the Greek word for gift. That's not the word that shows up here. An interesting word shows up. The word is doreia. That word means gratuity. The root word means to present or to offer yourself as a sacrifice or an offering. Hey, that immediately causes your mind to jot down next to your margin, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You beat me to it. That's the Holy Spirit telling you that. Wow, a living sacrifice. Of course we're to be living sacrifices. A dead one can't do anything. Sing me a song. He's dead. The world, the paganism offers up dead things, not the Lord. We're to serve Him. And you know what? And we'll end real quickly here. Some of us are so tired that we think, you know what? I don't have another moment to serve. Think of this. Many of us are tired and worn out and burned out, aren't we? Don't you feel burned out maybe? If that's you, you feel a little burned out? If you feel burned out, then you're not doing it God's way, because God's way is never burnout. You may be sitting here tonight saying, I can't even think about finding out what my gift is because I'm so tired that if I find out what my gift is, then I'll have to do something. That's burnout. You're burned out. You're doing it wrong way. Whatever you're doing it wrong. We're so wrapped up in our jobs and in our, the stuff that we've got going on in our lives that we can't function in our gifts toward God. We're burned out. When we, under the power of the Holy Spirit, are fulfilling the gift that God has put upon our lives to perform, you will not get tired. You will not grow weary in well-doing. You'll be energized. It's a miracle. And people will say, how is it that you're able to do this, or you guys did that, or this thing happened? And you say, it's the Lord. And you know it's true. Or we can close our curtains and shut our doors and not experience all that He has for us, and that would be a shame. In the next several weeks, we're going to be finding out the origin of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Where do they come from? Where do they come from anyway? That should help us a lot about, should we be afraid of them? If God is calling you to have the gift of governments, what does that mean? What does it mean to have the gift of administration? Or to exercise the word of wisdom. What does that mean? How do you know if you have or do not have the gift of giving? What about faith? Do you have the gift of faith? Maybe you have it and you're not aware of it yet. Maybe the study is going to point it out to you. It's going to be exciting, I think. We're going to look at the purpose of the gifts. We're going to look at the use of the gifts, and I should say the abuse of the gifts. Everyone's interested in that. The operation of the gifts. And then for the very reason why Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 4, the unity of the gifts. You see, my calling is to study, to pastor, and to teach. But I need your gift very, very badly to survive. I will be judged very severely on the day of judgment. I will stand before God and be scorched. Because the scripture says that teachers will be held accountable for what they teach in relation to what they do or perform or live in their lives. They'll be judged harder for what they say. That's scary. But I need you. Because you have a gift. My prayer is that God will do whatever He needs to do in this church. so that Doug is aware and understands that he needs Shelley's gift in his life. So that Jeff understands that what Ashton is doing in the body, he needs desperately. You know, we cannot cut off this section of the sanctuary and expect to survive. We're in this thing together. That's why the Lord comes so hard against division. That's why he comes down so hard against gossip and talebearers and busybodies, because it fragments this beautiful organism that is alive. And it's running down the course, and someone throws razor blades out onto the track and just slices the feet up severely. The feet can't function, and the body falls to its knees and rips its knees open. The palms, the arms are extended to protect the head, and the wrists are slit wide open. The face falls right into the metal of the blades and all, and bleeds to death because the body is cut up and fragmented. And that can't happen. I'm not saying it's happening here. I'm just going to tell you that if I ever find out that it's happening, I'm going to respond like a surgeon. I'm going to cut out the cancer and heal up the wound. And it goes for me too. We must absolutely realize that we are so dependent upon each other. We'll have a great time in these studies. Encourage friends. Encourage people who may be caught up into churches, that they're going a certain way or you're concerned about them. Come, we're gonna teach this straight from the Bible, totally balanced in the Word. And maybe some people can be helped or healed. But we'll all learn. I can't wait.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16, where Paul expounds on gifts for believers and how they all contribute to the functioning of the church. United in the Gifts is the title of this mini-series, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, speaking of being built up in the faith, that's Real Radio's chief purpose. It's also to present God's scriptural truth to non-believers. Now, of course, from time to time, doubt creeps in, but don't be discouraged. It can certainly be a good thing, especially if it motivates you to find the truth. So because we all struggle with doubt, Pastor Jack has put together a two-part DVD presentation called simply, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Presents 10 reasons why we all struggle with doubt in our lives as believers. And by the way, whatever kinds of doubts you've experienced, they are likely dealt with in this presentation. Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? The two-part DVD package by Pastor Jack. So, this month, for a gift of any amount, in support of Real Radio, we'll send you this two-part DVD set. Just ask for it by name, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? There's more than one way to get in touch with us. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, or you can give us a call at 877-RR-RADIO. Of course, that's a toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also send in your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.